Let's go ahead and give another hand clap of praise to the Lord tonight. I know it's a midweek service, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. Before we get into our text tonight, I want to hit on every age tonight. From young kids to from Junie's age to the elders in the church. I believe tonight I got something from God that's going to open your eyes on a couple different things. If you'd stand with me, if you're able, we'll get into the reading of the word. We're going to be reading from the book of Psalms, the 127th chapter. We're going to be reading the whole chapter. Don't freak out. It's only 5 verses. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Verse 3 is kind of where I want to hang my hat tonight. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to speak, teach, preach, whatever the Lord has in store for us tonight, on this simple topic: when arrows are in the hands of a warrior. When arrows are in the hands of a warrior. If you could all bow your heads tonight. Lord, we love you. We praise you tonight. We thank you, God, for the word that you're getting ready to speak to your people. Lord, we ask that the word that is going to be spoken fall upon good ground, Lord, that a seed be planted in the soil tonight, God, that we can take something with us tonight and we can change differently from the way that we walk through the thresholds of this place, Lord. We love you tonight. We praise you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name. It's easy to see that arrows can be quite different from one another. Some have plastic veins, others have actual feathers. They can have different tips, they can be different lengths. Some are designed for target competition, others are designed for hunting, some for hunting fish, some for hunting birds, some for hunting larger game. But arrows are also very similar. Each has been carefully fashioned and crafted, molded and balanced. They're all intended for flight. They're all intended for a specific target, and they're all intended for maximum impact on the target they're heading towards. As I was studying for this message, I was reminded that I'm blessed to be a father of 2 children. All of you know them, Easton and Ellie. They're both very different from each other. They have different looks, different interests, different personalities. But they're also very similar because each of them was fashioned and crafted by God. And each of them is being molded and balanced and readied for flight in our home. You see, arrows are designed to fly. Arrows are used for target practice, for hunting. Majority of arrows aren't for show. They were never intended to stay in a quiver. And I actually brought a little illustration of what an arrow looks like just in case nobody knew what an arrow was like. These arrows are actually my father's arrows that he has let me borrow for tonight because I myself am not a big hunter. But as you can see, these arrows roughly are about the same, but they have different tips. But behind these arrows, they're intended for the same purpose. The quiver is just a vehicle that carries these arrows until they are ready to be released. You might say that arrows were made to be released, and they were made to fly. They were made to pierce a target. So it was with my children, David said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. They were never intended to stay within the four walls of our home. Our home is merely a means to prepare them and mold them and straighten and balance them. But the time is coming. It's coming very soon. In fact, when we actually have to release the arrows. They were made to fly. They were made to pierce a target. Our children were designed by their Creator to make an impact on the world. To live for a reason, to set their minds towards a goal, to accomplish a purpose, to count for something in God's great kingdom. God once said of Abraham, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteous and justice." Now ultimately, of course, our children are responsible as individuals before God for the flight they take and the mark that they make in this world. But I realize that as a father and as a warrior, I'm also responsible to release those precious arrows to the best of my ability. A woman once wrote, "Letting go is a God-given responsibility as important as love in the parent-child relationship. Without it, without release, children cannot grow. With it, they gain the confidence and independence to seek and reach their potential in life. Give your children roots and wings." And the old saying goes, love them and protect them. Nurture them with a strong sense of God and family, and then let them go. You see, releasing our children is an important part of being a parent. But it's not an easy thing to do. Luckily, I have quite a few years before my children get old enough to where I have to release them. Some of you parents may have children that you've already released. Some of you parents may have children that you're close to releasing. But why is it so hard to let go as a parent? Why is it so difficult to pull back on the bow and just let the arrow fly? Because it contradicts everything we are as parents. We fear our loss of influence. We don't want to give up our parental control. We have spent so many years taking care of children who are so dear to us and those who have hatched into our own little nest. After all, from the day they were born, we have been responsible for their provision and protection. We've shielded them. We've prayed for them. We've agonized over them. We fought for them. And let's face it, the business of letting go diminishes the role of a parent. And sometimes diminishing roles don't feel very good. But we must let go. In John 3:30, there's a turning point in his ministry where John the Baptist said of Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." That describes the well role of a parent with our own children. They must increase and we must decrease. Their personal responsibility to the Lord must increase, and their personal responsibility to mom and dad must decrease. Over the course of thousands of years, a wide variety of arrows have been created for uses as varied as hunting, competition, and conflict. Knowing the different types of arrows and the purpose they serve can help you make a well-informed decision when shopping for arrows. Raise your hand if you ever shop for arrows in here. So you have target arrows, often used in archery and target shooting contests. They are typically made of carbon or aluminum, which are both lightweight and strong. And they include small vanes or feathers to aid in flight and stability. You have field arrows, which are used for hunting. They're often made of more sustainable materials like wood or aluminum, and they often have broadheads for increased penetrability and have larger vanes for increased flight stability. You have bodkin arrows. When hunting smaller wildlife, it is more common to employ a blunt arrow, which is designed to injure rather than kill the target. They often have a blunt end and are made of lightweight materials. You have crossbow bolts. When compared to arrows, crossbow bolts are shorter and thicker. So this is, I believe, actually for a crossbow. Sorry, I'm wrong. So this arrow here is a normal arrow, but a crossbow bolt is actually shorter than this is. So if you look at a crossbow bolt and you're looking at it, you're like, man, I don't know how in the world that is going to kill anything. But they expand the scope of possible uses to include hunting and combat. So God, in his magnificent wisdom, provides us multiple opportunities to practice the releasing of our children before the climatic release when they sever ties and leave home for good. In fact, if you stop and think about it, parents start releasing their children from the moment of birth. There is that small matter of cutting the umbilical cord. From the moment of conception, there is this intricate, intimate sharing of two life systems. And when you get this snip, that sharing is over. Suddenly, you're holding a little baby. It's a little independent life system that's in your arms. I'm sure Sister Lainey and Brother Caleb can attest to this. Having a newborn baby, it's like holding something in your arms that it almost doesn't seem real. There are many, many more such snips over the years. Following birth, there's the weaning of the child off of the bottle, the graduation to stained squash and other such appetizing foods for kids. But parents, do you remember the first time that you left your children in the hands of a babysitter? What an experience that is. I don't remember exactly what it was that Laura and I did, but the first time when we went out, we had a great time, other than the fact that she couldn't quit talking about the kids. Or how about the first time that you left your children at home without a babysitter? You go through this long routine. Make sure you stay inside. You keep the doors locked. If anybody comes to the door, it's too bad. You don't open the door for anybody. You don't know anybody. You don't recognize anybody. Don't turn the stove on. Don't do this. Don't do that. We'll be gone for roughly about an hour, and then we'll be back. It's tough to do, but it's a practice release. How about the first day of kindergarten? The first time they climb on that huge bus to go off to school by themselves. How about their first bicycle ride? You have to stand back a little bit. There has to be some crashes if you want them to grow some skills of riding a bike. Being a mother is a lot like teaching a child to ride a bike. You have to know when to hold on and when to let go. If you lack this courage to let go, you're going to get very tired of running alongside the child riding the bike. There's a world of wisdom in that observation for mothers and fathers. Do you remember your child's first overnight stay at a friend's house? Or the first week at a summer camp? Or their first date, and then comes that time when he or she gets that coveted driver's license and drives off down the road alone for the first time, yet that's another practice released. One of the last practice releases may involve them going away to college or taking a trip without you to another state or a foreign country. How do you suppose Timothy's parents felt when Timothy said, I made up my mind. I'm going to travel around the country with Paul and preach the gospel. Truth is, there are thousands and thousands of practice releases that parents go through. Each one of them can help us develop our technique. Each of them can help bring us to the point where we're ready to let go for good. So those of us that are young parents, I encourage you to start practicing now with that target in mind. From the moment of birth to the moment they move out on their own, practice releasing them. This is something that is eye-opening to me when I started doing some studying. It is going to be hard for me as a dad to let go and let my children go into the world. It's important that the arrow knows when it's going to be released. It ought to register in that arrow's pointy broadhead. This is a special moment. This is the moment that I'm getting ready to fly. But this is a special privilege. This is a departure from the norm. Mom and dad is letting go a little right now. But there's one more important thing to be considered. What is the target? What is the target that you want your kids to see? What are we releasing our children to? Life is too short to make random shots in the air. Time doesn't allow for the kind of thinking that says, I shot an arrow in the air. It'll fall to earth sometime. I just don't know where it's going to fall. Those God-given arrows of ours are too precious to waste. First of all, we're releasing them to adulthood. We're letting them grow up. We're releasing our sons and daughters to manhood or womanhood. And if you're a student of God's word, you'll have a clear view of what the bullseye for manhood and womanhood looks like. You're releasing them to a personal responsibility to God. Moses told the people of Israel, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." As parents, we want to teach our children to have faith in God and love for His word. But as they step out onto their own, it must be their own personal faith and not an inherited faith. We must have time to prepare them for what they're going to face. As we release them, we prepare them for marriage. God designed us as men and women, and He designed us for marriage. It's normal for a young person to look forward to finding that special someone to spend the rest of their life with. God created us to live out specific roles within that marriage. It's normal for a young person, but as we teach God's intentions for those roles and live them out in our marriage under the watchful eyes of our children, we prepare them for their own marriages and their own homes. Our goal is to produce kids who can emotionally leave home, kids who can come to love somebody else more than they love their parents. We release them to full responsibility for their own well-being. That includes responsibilities like for their own living place, for their own bills, for their own health, for their own insurance, for their own relationship, and for their own walk with God. And for all the other things that are part of life and well-being on this planet, we release them to the full responsibility for those necessary burdens. You may have heard people say, children are a hindrance. Children are inconvenience. They stop what we are called to do. They pull us back. The Bible says that children are a blessing. Children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And blessed is the one who has a full quiver of arrows. If your children that are like arrows are in the hands of someone that is not a warrior, that doesn't care about building the kingdom, that is just living in their own comfort and own convenience, they're not a blessing. But then it gets hard. But in the hands of a warrior that are here to build the kingdom of heaven and to fight against the kingdom of hell, then children become a blessing, because now I view my children as soldiers to be launched against the kingdom of hell into the kingdom of heaven. You know those parents that say, you know, I don't want to force my kids into any kind of religion. I don't want to force my kids into the apostolic doctrine. That is like you saying, I'm just going to shoot my arrow aimlessly and hope it hits its target. It's our job, it's our responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go, to teach them the word of God. The Bible says the further they command and that we teach. If our children end up spiritually bankrupt, that's our fault. They need to know their Bibles. And in this church, we're going to teach it to them. That's why we have VBS. That's why we do these things for kids, because we want to teach them the word of God. We have kids that come into this church that their parents don't come to church. Where else will they get the word of God if they're not getting it from here? You see, the devil deceives women and mothers into believing that your job is just to give your children physical bread. Your job is not just to give them physical bread. Your job is to give them the bread of life. Your job isn't just to put food in their mouth. It's to put the scroll of the word of God into their hearts. Children don't only do what you tell them to do. They do what they see you doing. So you can't be mad when our children are acting crazy and they never see you read. They never see you pray. They never see you come to church. And you're wondering why your children are so crazy. But man, when you start reading and when you start praying and when you start bringing them to church, then you have a teenager later on in life that says, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna on the highest. Solomon considered the wisdom of trusting God in building a house. But he also understood that a home is built by more than bricks and wood. He called upon all to see, behold, that children are a blessing. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. You see, children, they must be carefully shaped and formed. They must be guided with skill and strength. They must be given care or they will not fly straight. They must be aimed and given direction. They will not find direction on their own. They are in some respects only launched once. They are an extension of the warrior's strength and accomplishments. And they have potential for much good. But can I speak to, if there's any young people in here tonight, I want you to listen to me. Becoming a godly child involves developing a respect, a reverent, and obedient relationship with God and others, particularly with your parents. It's about learning to love God and others, demonstrating kindness, honesty, and helplessness, striving to do what's right. This includes actively seeking to understand and follow God's will, as well as showing respect and obedience to parents and other figures of authority. Children often hear preachers preach to only their parents, but not to them. The word godly means showing proper respect and reverence. So being a godly child means to show respect toward the Lord and his wishes for your life. To be a godly child, what would God have them to be? Children need to honor and obey their parents. Paul declared, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." The two major responsibilities found within these verses, obedience and honor. To be a godly child, these responsibilities must be met. Children are to obey and submit in such a way as to bring joy and not grief to a parent. Children need to grow spiritually. Timothy had the advantage of a mother and grandmother, and he was learning about God from the time that he was a baby. The love of God and his people is not a matter only for adults. By the time one has reached adulthood, the most deeply held conviction has already been established. Youth need to learn about and follow God while they are still youth. If you could all stand with me tonight as we come to a close and the musicians come quickly. I have mentioned all of this to charge all of you parents, all of you young people, train up a child. They are arrows in the hands of a warrior. Our job is to lead and guide them, teach them the word of God, read them Bible verses. Yeah, they may not understand in the moment, but they will remember those moments of being in bed and mom or dad reading them a Bible verse. They'll remember the prayers prayed over them before they lay their heads to sleep. They'll remember the crazy dances during the church services. the singing and clapping, the worship. Our children are watching our every move. Like an arrow, eventually we have to release them to this crazy world. So let's prepare them to flight for the kingdom of God. If we instill in them now, they will take this into adulthood. As parents and children of the King, we must make sure that we raise our children in Christ. The Bible tells us exactly how to raise our children. If we do not follow along with what God tells us in His Word, then we are being less astray. If we aren't going to abide by what God tells us in terms of how to raise our children, then it is going to give leeway for the devil to come in and teach them the ways of the world instead. There's a saying that if we don't teach our kids, then the devil will. If we do not tell our children the truth of everything that we know of and go through in our lives, then the devil is going to essentially share his beliefs with them. This can lead to our children being negatively influenced by the world and not the Word of God. Raising children can be difficult. I know, I've got two of them. It's not an easy task. However, it is doable. As long as we have God, He is the one who gives us the strength, the support, and the guidance that we need throughout our journey as a godly parent. I want to share with you just a couple important essential tips on how to raise a godly child in this corrupt world. Study and understand the Word of God is number one. Number two is share the gospel with your children. Number three is love your children. Number four is train your children. Number five is discipline your children. It's okay as a parent to say no sometimes. Number six, teach your children to pray. Number seven, include God in everything. Number eight, build a good relationship. Number nine, set good examples. Number 10, be involved and be intentional. We're responsible for our own children tonight, church. It's our duty as parents to raise good children, to raise them right in the Lord. It is of paramount importance to raise our children with God and His Word and to set healthy, righteous examples of how they are to be in this world. It's up to us to be open, honest, and intentional with our raising and to make sure that they are protected from the negative influence of this world and of the devil. On the flip side of things, as a natural parent, I want you to think as a spiritual parent. I want you to think of a child that comes to this place that doesn't have a parent that brought them. Yeah, you may not have children. You may not want children. You may have children that's already out of your home. You may have children that you never see, never speak to. But take up a child underneath your wings. Help these children to grow in the Lord. We need to teach them. We need to guide them. Just like an arrow, one day they're going to be released into this world. And as a man of God, as a warrior, as an arrow in the hands of a warrior, I want this arrow to hit the correct target. I love this church tonight. Thank you, guys.